Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good Monday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny, May 16th, 2022. Back at full strength, Danny has returned from Asheville. And for the first time in the history of G&D, Danny has a handlebar mustache.
That's right. Gaze upon its glory. So as part of the bachelor party I was privileged enough to be a part of, I was the oldest by at least a decade, right? So I got a familial sort of exemption here on this tour. Bunch of fun 30-year-olds drinking so much beer. It was unbelievable. I'd shuttle them around, designated driver style. I ate so many carbs. How much weight did Danny gain? It is a number. We'll be able to play that during the double play today.
Can't wait.
At 3:45. This is not a bait and switch. This is not one of those things where I pretend I gained and really didn't. There was an increase. The number is bigger than it was before. So we'll be able to play that for a lot of fun. But I had an awesome time. I had such an awesome time that I left my laptop and that bag and all my headphones and stuff like that in Roanoke, Virginia. It's a long story. Thanks to Brady for shipping that SOB up my way. And I'll get it maybe tomorrow or Wednesday or something like that.
Way to go, Brady.
Yeah, way to go, Brady. Hooking it up, man. But yeah, we got it done. Got the full experience. I ate so many biscuits, so many donuts. Asheville rules. A lot of fun.
Danny last night texted and said, you're not going to be able to do the show. You're not going to be able to look at my mustache. And for the record, you're right about that.
Yep, it's a lot.
I'm going to be distracted all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a lot to deal with. But I responded to you. I said, no, everything will be fine. You have plenty of time to shave it between now and when the show starts because the bachelor party has ended and you're home now with your wife and your children. And obviously, you're not going to keep that all night and all day tomorrow. And any reasonable person would just do the bachelor party gimmick during the bachelor party
right.
and end it when they got home. And you made it known that you would not be shaving, that you would come in with the handlebar mustache. For some reason, I'm not quite yet sure why.
So two things. One, my 8-year-old said the same thing that you did. Like, he said, quote, don't look at me, end quote, which was a treat. Nice to see you too, buddy. I missed you.
He did not say that.
He said, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Go away. Which was nice. Second of all, clean-shaven me has caused issues before. It's a now, I won't say it's famous, as if we're, you know, overestimating our importance here, but it's a known thing for Grant and Danny Files, people that know the history of this program, where all I did was have a clean-shaven face one time, and you couldn't do the show. You stopped, completely distracted, and you said, I'm sorry, I just can't look at you. So that wasn't an answer either. So what I realized was, this isn't about me. It's about you. You need to get over this. This is your test. This is your gauntlet. This is your ultimate moment here to get over whatever this hair and face thing that you obsess over. You're obsessed with appearance. I don't want to call you shallow, but Grant, this is a thing that GM Grant Paulson can't have a guy with hair that goes below his ears, even if he throws 98 with arm side run. You wouldn't employ the Noah Syndergaards of the world. I need you to go through this. You and me together. I'm here to help you.
If he was 98 with arm side run, I'd find a place for him, but we're going to probably have to figure something out with that hair in due time.
Right.
But don't make this about me.
It's about you.
This is a big moment for you to have your big handlebar mustache over
you.
There. So when are you going to shave it? Tonight?
No. When?
Why would you keep it? What is the benefit?
First of all, again, you're uncomfortable, which I'm very happy about.
Right. But again, I'm asking.
Yeah.
You're making this about me. This has nothing to do with me. There's no chance your wife likes it.
No, she hates it.
You're back from the bachelor party.
Yes.
You did your thing. You hung out with a 30-year-old. You drove around. You killed it. I'm sure you had a blast. And I'm going to ask you about that in a second. I'm happy for you.
Uh-huh.
They've all shaven their mustaches. They're back in the office.
They have not. They're it's a bunch of mustachioed men along the Eastern Seaboard right now.
Okay, so is this just you're locked arms in solidarity? You're not shaving? You guys are the new band of brothers? Like, what is your plan
here? Yeah, number one, it's fun. Everyone's having a good time. The only person not having a good time I'm looking at right now with it, you got a pained expression on your face.
But you don't enjoy it. What is
I do.
There to enjoy? You look like Paul Blart.
I look ridiculous. I look like, this is my Jeff Rebelet mustache. Like, I'm a utility infielder in the early 90s. That's what it looks like. It's ridiculous. Of course, it's fun. Again, the point I'm trying to make to you.
Fun is going to a baseball game.
Yeah.
Fun is eating at a buffet. Fun is not having facial hair that makes people look at you funny in the parking lot.
Yeah, fun is having a mustache and have people see me and crack up. Fun is looking ridiculous, but of my own volition. If I'm clean shaven, which is what you want, again, be careful what you wish for. You hated it so much that you couldn't do a radio program with me. Someone who sat in the same room with you for a decade. You couldn't continue the show. So again,
this is easier to do than clean shaven.
Totally. So that's not better. My wife hates that too. So the point is, we just got to wait for this thing to grow in. We got to wait for all the facial hair to grow in.
Keeping that mustache until your beard grows in?
That's right.
That's ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, I guess I've just got to saddle up. So highlight, low light of the trip. What did we love? What did we hate?
The drive. That drive to Asheville, ain't kind. That's 81. For those that know 81, nice views when you're stopped dead because there's 7 trillion trucks not moving. Really nice scenery, 2 lanes, unbelievable sadness, just so much not going fast. That highway, I hate it. I spent so much time going up and down 81, playing in the Shenandoah Valley League when I was in college, and you know, trips down to Roanoke, Blacksburg, and otherwise. It's just too much. That highway stinks. Governor Youngkin, whoever the next governor is, people that deal in Loudoun County, Shenandoah Valley, whoever's in charge, fix it. Fix it. Stop doing what you're doing. Put all those projects to the side. Make 81 okay. I'm asking for it to be great. Doesn't it be the best highway system in the country? Just improve it. Add a lane. Make it so that like a regular car, just a couple of pudgy idiots trying to get home, can get home in due course. That highway sucks. That's the low light. Highlight, biscuits. The biscuits,
did
man.
Did you have some biscuits?
Oh,
this is
going to
help
Billy.
Me in my prediction.
Billy.
How much weight did Danny
You're
gain?
Asking, did you have biscuits with sausage gravy on them? Yeah. Did that biscuit have chicken tenders? Yeah. Did it have egg? Yeah. Did it have bacon? Uh-huh. All in one dish, and that wasn't even the main. That was like my secondary biscuit dish.
Did you eat as much as you did the time we went to Cracker Barrel in West Palm Beach?
Yes.
I don't
multiple
know
times.
If I've told this story, probably at some point it came up. Me and you went with, I think, Brendan.
It was Dar, yeah.
Our old producer.
Mm-hmm.
And Dar and I essentially had to get our own table after the food came.
Yep.
Because Danny ordered so many sides and plates of things that, like, in fairness, it was... They were bringing out plates when they didn't need to. It would be like 2 pieces of bacon, and they'd give you a whole round plate. But Danny had so many plates that basically we moved to the table next to us so that Danny could have all of his sides and his plates. And you're telling me you did a number better than that.
I did that, but multiple times. On the long trips, we stopped at Sheetz 4 different times. There were 4 different Sheetz experiences, all of them delightful because Sheetz rules. We did that, covered that. Combos, because if you're in a car, you're on a trip, what do you eat? Combos. All the flavors were sampled by me. A great time. A fantastic time. But I'm paying the price.
Why is that?
I'm fat.
Oh.
I got fatter.
It's okay. You'll get thinner again.
I guess. Working on it.
You can always go in the other direction.
It's real easy.
The Capitals got eliminated on Friday night.
Yeah, they did.
I didn't get my game on Sunday that I wanted. Didn't get my game 7. Everyone else played a game 7. There were game 7s all weekend long. NBA, NHL. You couldn't turn on a TV and not find a game 7 within 3 clicks up, 3 clicks down over the last couple days. Not the Caps. They got bounced in game 6. It happened at home against Florida. I was there. It was sad. That's an exit that I've made now with Caps fans one too many times when you're walking out. And, of course, it had to happen in overtime, by the way.
Yep. No way, no better way to do it.
The only thing I wanted all day long, win, lose, or draw, whatever, don't go to overtime. Do not do this to me. I don't want to have to, every time the Panthers get into the offensive zone for an entire overtime, have that anxiety that the season's about to end. It's the worst thing in sports is when your team is playing in an elimination game in overtime. It's terrible, specifically in hockey. And sure enough, that's what happened. I do want to commend and give kudos to TJ Oshie, who sent the game to overtime.
Indeed.
With a goal in the waning moments when the Caps got a power play. He had 6 goals in 6 games in the series. He was masterful. I love TJ Oshie. He gave me everything he had. I can't stop wondering what might have been if Tom Wilson wasn't hurt in a series where they pushed Florida to the brink. But it doesn't matter. Fourth time, 4 years, Caps at home as the second round begins since the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, so it's tough to quantify because, again, the poison, the evil, the awful buildup of compounding playoff failures was washed away in 2018. So I don't have that, woe is me, this sucks, I'm mad at everybody, I'm pissed at anybody that says anything nice, I'm mad at people that say mean stuff, I'm mad at people that say nice stuff, I'm just mad. I don't have that anymore. That'll build up again slowly over time when DC, with 4 major sports teams, goes, you know, another 20, 30 years without meaningful playoff victories or a conference final or whatever else. But I don't have that same animus and venom. So put that, that's kind of point one. Point two, you can kind of go, hey, they great they haven't gotten out of the first round in 4 years. That's not awesome. Not with a team that's built to be better than that. But this group specifically, Grant, I'm not angry at this roster. You mentioned TJ Oshie, who was so splendid. You know, you hear Nicholas Backstrom talk, and by the way, kind of, I don't have a great word for it, but it's kind of chilling to hear him say, yeah, my hip may never be the same. Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty dramatic. And the usual staple of things of, you know, a shoulder injury for Ovechkin, you know, Tom Wilson, who you mentioned, wasn't available for the series. It's kind of the same running theme. It's what it's been over the last 4 years.
Confirmed what we said on the show, by the way, that he had a serious knee injury. Mm-hmm. And so we were all over that. But yeah, yep. Everyone kind of had a say in the injury parade. And we found out about it after the series, obviously, that guys were playing not at 100%. And that happens. I mean, that's hockey in the postseason. That's May NHL puck. That's I get it. It also happens when you're old.
That's where I was going.
They are. I mean, they got a bunch of guys in their mid-30s. They got some guys, luckily, who are pretty good players in their young 30s, upper 20s. But for the most part, the core of this team has been around a long time, has played a lot of games. There's not a lot of tread left on the tires. And now, the Backstrom contract was paid because of what he'd already accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
The Ovechkin contract, luckily that guy doesn't age and he just never seems to slow down. But that was paid because you want him to chase the goals record here. Correctly, and because of what he'd already accomplished. And when you start giving those contracts out to 30-plus-year-old players, you're going to end up having some bad money and some bad deals, and you get less wiggle room if you're Brian McClellan and you don't have as forgiving an offseason ahead where you can get some things wrong. It just is where they are. It's the tax you pay for having been really, really good for basically 15 years.
Well said.
I will also say this, though, and I realize this over and over again every spring. My default setting for hockey analysis is way more forgiving than the average fan, if that makes sense. In other words, I view a massive chunk of playoff success or failure as uncontrollable. In fact, I would say if you divvy up a pie, every fan has to divvy it up, and it's like, what percentage of whether you move on or you get eliminated do you control? Does your opponent control? Versus, so you can name it puck luck if you want to or whatever, mm-hmm. But basically, is it just random hockey stuff happening? I think my piece of pie for just, this is not controllable by either team, is bigger than most people's. And I hate that form of analysis, but this is what I've come to over, you know, 30-plus years now of watching the National Hockey League and caring about the Capitals and watching them in the playoffs, not only throughout the Rock the Red era for the last 15-plus years in the postseason, but before that when I was going to games at Capital One Arena with my dad and watching Marty Straka score big goals for the Penguins. The last iteration of the Capitals postseason teams. And I just, it's hard for me to get overly angry. Like the year that they won the cup, they didn't do that much different or that much better or that much that was all that removed from all the other years. Like a lot of things kind of went their way.
Mm-hmm.
The save is a cool moment. That's a great thing that Braden Holtby did. Guess what? If Tuck lifts that puck 4 inches higher or shoots it 2 inches lower, it's just a goal, and you're probably down 2-0. Now, I could go back and do that 100 times over for the cup run. I feel the same way about the Nats. In fact, the championships that our two teams won here solidified my feelings on this. The number of balls that went just foul against the Nationals that could have landed fair. The the number of things that worked out for them where they were down in series, the wild card game where you get a misplay in right field where it almost ended, the only series really where they were just decidedly better than Cardinals. Their opponent was the Cardinals in the NLCS. Otherwise, any one of those series could have gone against them 50 times over. And so I kind of just view it as it went your way or it didn't, more than most people did a lot. And if you don't come from that perspective, like the guy who was screaming behind me at the end of the game yelling, oh, you better kill him on the radio, you better kill him. He's like, why are people cheering? Because, you know, they're doing their lift their sticks at the end of the season. And people are saying like, hey, nice year, thanks for all the memories. People like me who are like, what a hell of a season. Again, I've rooted for nothing but terrible teams with terrible processes my whole life. So I'm golf clapping for these guys who I love, this group that's given me so much. And he's like livid because they get eliminated in the first round for a fourth straight year. I'm not telling you that guy's wrong. In fact, he's not wrong, probably. It's not okay that with this good a team, you haven't gotten out of the first round in 4 years. Or maybe you could say out of the second round more than once in the last all the years. But I just view it differently, and that annoys a lot of people, and I'll apologize in advance, but that's how I view it.
So I guess for this specific group, and here's where I'm going. I'm not mad at Garnet Hathaway for being Garnet Hathaway. I'm not mad at Trevor Van Riemsdyk or, you know, Nick Jensen.
They both had a great series.
Yeah, for playing their bags off, you know, or all these guys, right, who worked super hard and did everything that they could. My issue is big picture. This is as good as this group could do this year, I think. They gave Florida all they could handle. Florida's better than they are. So in the series, we can't fix goaltending. We can't make it so that Tom Wilson's healthy. We can't fix certain things because this is who we are at this stage. So I could root for these individual guys. And now that we're eliminated, I go, hey, have we noticed what's happened in the last 4 years? Where we're now, we've gone from first in the division, among the point leaders, the favorites who have been let down to, oh, it's nice that we gave Florida a tough time. That's kind of where my concern is here. And what are our fixes? How do we get back? This is now a big picture thing. Like the player I always used to use as my example for Washington, for the now Commanders' failings was, I don't blame Reed Doughty for being Reed Doughty. I blame the people that put this roster together for not having a better plan that doesn't include Reed Doughty for 12 games starting at safety. That ain't his fault. He's just trying to make it in the league. But the fact that it always ended up defaulting, that's what would happen. That was bad building. That's bad management. I'm not mad at Ilya Samsonov. I thought he played as good as he could play, probably. I'm mad that there wasn't a veteran goalie that you could count on for this postseason run. You know what I mean?
I get that. Samsonov's not the reason they lost.
No, not at all.
You know, he actually played well enough. I think he statistically and otherwise was probably the best goalie in the series.
Yeah, he did enough.
He's better than Bob. The micro, to me, I can excuse. It's the macro, if I'm using those correctly, yes, which is problematic. Like, this year, I go, well, Florida's probably better.
And, they are.
You know, the Wilson injury was crippling. The problem is when you pull it back now to 10,000 feet and you go, it's four straight years. I could have done the same thing against Carolina. They should have won that series. Mm-hmm. They lost that series. Oshie got hit, I thought, dirty, cost him the rest of the series, and not having him was a disaster. Yep. That guy just scored 6 goals in 6 playoff games. You tell me he's not important in the postseason. So that time I was going, well, if you had Oshie, maybe it's different. But again, there's 1 year where I thought they kind of no-showed and they stunk up the joint. And that was in the
2020
bubble
pandemic,
against the Islanders. I don't know. I mean, you're in a bubble. You're away from your family. It's in the middle of a pandemic. I'm sorry that I can't work up the same fervor for that, but I can't. So by and large, year by year, I can go through and kind of make it make some sense. But in the macro, you look at it and you go, you've had 4 years with Alex Ovechkin at the peak of his powers with a really, really, really good hockey team. Compare them in the regular season over the last 4 years to every other team in the NHL. And to not get out of the first round is not okay. So I understand that annoyance, that frustration. There should be a greater standard. But I view it differently than other sports. I think hockey postseason, I almost tell myself, like, it's so dumb that you care and allow your emotions to be this invested, because it really is about a bounce. It's about, like, the Oshie goal. Oshie worked hard. I give him credit for that.
Yeah, he was there.
The puck just kind of went into the net on accident. You know what I mean? Like, it's so dumb. And that happens or it doesn't. That's really kind of how I view it. I know that that's not what people want to hear necessarily, and in fact is annoying to a lot of people. Having said that, process begins now, and you got to figure out what you're going to do with this roster.
They need that. Obviously, you can't recreate what Florida has, but I just mean generally what the expense that they've paid to stay competitive for so long is. You know, make just like the Nationals are going through. Your system is kind of bereft. There's no next wave of 22 to 25 year olds that can kind of be, you know, young and spry and healthy. Enter May and you know, God willing, into June. They're old. That's an old roster.
That's too hard to change.
That's really hard to change right now.
Ovechkin is now going nowhere and should. He's
right.
Oldest and he's best.
Mm-hmm.
Backstrom's the guy that contract's going to become an albatross.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how we got here and why we got here, but he just wasn't Backstrom all year long. I'm not sure he's ever going to be Backstrom again, and we're just getting going. This is like the hockey version of Strasburg. At least he actually plays. But this is going to be problematic. I don't know what they can do about that. You want to talk old? Oshie's old.
Yep.
In hockey terms, I'm using air quotes. That guy a problem?
He was great, yeah.
Hell no, that guy's not a problem. So you're keeping him around, and you just hope he doesn't hit a wall. But you're seeing what I mean in terms of just going down the age.
Yep.
So how do you fix this? Where do you change this? Ideally, you go find a way to add an upper echelon goaltender, and you run this similarly back, I would say, with some tweaks to the roster and a better goalie, and maybe you feel like you can make a run. The one part where I'll disagree is you said you thought this was as good as it could have gotten for this group. And again, this comes back to just how I view playoff hockey, I guess. I disagree. You're inches away from the Hathaway empty netter that made it 3-1. You win this series. The Lightning came out of their series. That team's won the last two cups, just won a game 7. They played so much hockey. I could see them running into a wall at some point. Now, I think whoever won this series was probably going to get blown out next series. But it wouldn't surprise me if Tampa Bay advanced, which now they have, at some point the clock's going to just strike midnight. Like, things don't just keep going your way 3 straight years in the playoffs. So eventually that faucet's going to turn off on them. I'd love to have been the team playing them when it happened.
Would have been nice.
But who knows? I mean, there's no way to stack up with reason in the playoffs. Like, oh, the Caps can't beat the Lightning. I'm not willing to say that. I didn't think they'd beat Vegas. I didn't think they'd beat, you know, we could have played that game then too. But we'll go into in detail today what they need to try to do. We'll look at some of the contracts on the roster and see what's what for them as they move forward. There were a lot of game sevens in sports this weekend. I want to talk about a couple of them, specifically the worst game 7 performance in the history of sports last night by the Phoenix Suns.
It's up there.
I don't know how that's even possible. How can you lay that big of an egg in that important of a game? Plus, the Commanders said they were going to be aggressive at going and getting players in free agency.
So much aggression.
After the draft, and I'm just kind of wondering where that aggressiveness is or what we're waiting for. Draft is over. Players are available. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Under a minute to go here in the first half. Stunning. 27-point lead. Down goes Johnson. 3.
Oh, no.
They're shredding him.
Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller, Turner Sports on the call last night. The Mavs in a game 7 destroyed the Suns. First of all, an underdog. Nobody thought they'd win the game. Everyone kind of thought it'd be a blowout in the other direction. Phoenix had 17 points after the first quarter, which is not a big deal if it's the NBA 25 years ago. But 17 points in a first quarter now means you're probably down 8 to 10 points.
Luka Doncic, 27. Phoenix Suns, 27 at halftime.
Same number of points at the half. And in fact, Luka had done his 27 worth of points scoring, 9 of 12 from the floor. The Suns at halftime, 27 points on 10 of 41 from the floor. Luka was 4 of 7 from 3. Phoenix was 3 of 14. Luka had 9 rebounds. The entire Suns team had 20 at halftime when he and the Suns had 27 points. I've never seen a team play that badly in an elimination game, but certainly in a game 7. I don't know how it's possible.
What an egg.
I mean, you are so desperate. You're playing, you would think, with so much energy, your entire season dating back to the first time you showed up and worked out comes down to this game. All that focus, all that adrenaline, all that intensity, all that energy. And you got blown out. You were being doubled up, basically. It ended up looking a lot better, 123-90. But
can you imagine that looking better, by the way? Because you're right, it did.
But Dallas basically stopped playing. Luka wasn't on the floor for the fourth quarter, essentially. So Phoenix scored 40. But going into the fourth quarter, they were down by almost 40 points. They were down by like 37 points or something going into the fourth.
It wasn't competitive. And I'm as surprised as anybody. I thought Milwaukee would beat Boston ultimately in a game 7. I think I underestimated how important it was for the game to be in Boston, which we'll get into in a second. And I underestimated Dallas in this one because Dallas' supporting cast, because Luka's obviously splendid. I mean, he is absolutely excellent. He is phenomenal. All the superlatives apply to that guy. But listen, if I just read you off the names, Reggie Bullock, Jalen Brunson, Dorian Finney-Smith, and Dwight Powell, find me the guy that scares you. Find me the guy that's imposing in any way.
Spencer Dinwiddie, he scares me.
Well, yeah, I suppose he does.
You know, he scored 30?
Yeah, I do, by the way, casually.
I don't think you do.
No, casually.
He, early in the game, was like, oh, me and Brad Beal can't coexist. What's Beal doing right now? Bucket, bucket, bucket. Bucket, pay him $16 billion if you want to.
Five of seven from three, by the way.
I'm sure he's one of the top 20 players in the NBA. He's not! Bucket, 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 bucket.
Dinwiddie, 5 of 7 from three. I think he had 5 threes in his entire time in Washington. I'm only sort of kidding. But, of course, he was excellent. But there's nobody there that terrifies you as an opponent. But credit to Jason Kidd. I think Dallas deserves a lot of credit for what they did to make Phoenix uncomfortable. And all of a sudden, this regular season juggernaut that played so well together, played with so much energy, flew up and down the court, orchestrating everything was Chris Paul. They looked like just a vulnerable, pedestrian, weak, limp through the playoffs team, maybe hope to steal a game or two. They were completely outclassed from Jump Street. It was a remarkable beatdown. Remarkable.
I just can't believe it.
I can't believe it.
And I don't give them any chance in the Western Conference Final. But I also didn't give them a chance in this series.
Here we are,
so
right?
Now what? By the way, Luka, you mentioned you liked Luka, right?
Yeah.
I got a Luka factoid for you.
Give it to me.
He's played in 2 game 7s. He scored 81 points in those 2 games combined.
He's comfortable, isn't he?
And by the way, that's with last night just being shut down with most of the games still
to go. He only played 30 minutes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He could easily have 95 points in 2 game 7s. He could have scored 50 last night pretty easily if he needed to. He didn't need to. Because the hay was already in the barn. Because they'd already won the game. It was just a great weekend, though.
Yep.
NHL had game 7 after game 7. 3 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. And then the NBA, I was wrong in both games, by the way.
Couldn't
have been more wrong.
Yep.
Milwaukee, Boston. Now, not shocking by any means because the Celtics are really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought Milwaukee would be a tougher out. Like them plus 5 yesterday, I thought was stealing money. If they lose, they're losing, and it's coming down to the final couple possessions, but they're going to be right there. They got beat by 30 points.
4 out of 33 from three. Reminded me of those Rockets teams that couldn't get past Golden State. Everyone viewed that as a grand experiment failure, and they weren't. Those are really good teams that just happened to shoot terrible that day. Your role players, your guys like Pat Connaughton, who is buckets, Grayson Allen, who's been dynamic as a three-point shooter, 0 for 9 between those guys. Wesley Matthews could hit the broadside of a barn. You start adding it up, and there you go. That's how you had a bunch of guys miss. Drew Holiday couldn't hit anything either, one of your regular contributors. I underestimated this. I went back. I was struck by something. I went back and looked at it. remember this. Milwaukee didn't want to play Brooklyn in the first round. Do you remember that? Way back towards the end of the regular season. They went and had a game. I'm trying to remember who it was against. I think it was against Cleveland, if memory serves. They sat everybody. Jrue Holiday played 8 seconds. They had just to keep some kind of consecutive game streak going or something like that. But it was Javon Carter and Giannis's brother. And they didn't play any of their regulars. Didn't care that they lost. Boston went on the road, beat Memphis, a good team, and secured the 2 seed. Now it seems comical that anybody was afraid of Brooklyn at all. And that game 7 in round number 2, where was it? It was in Boston because of that. And so all Boston's role players, the Grant Williams is the world, who I wanted out of the draft out of Tennessee, by the way, and the guys that are just that much more comfortable at home were almost the difference there. The role players for Milwaukee, no shows, zeros, nothing helpful, especially without Chris Middleton. That made it really hard. Giannis did Giannis things, but the stars kind of canceled each other out, and the role players for the Celtics were great.
I don't know enough about scheming in the NBA to go hard in the paint on this. But why was there no adjustment made by the Bucks? They just gave Grant Williams three-pointers the entire game.
Yeah, like after the first few, don't you go, hey.
Do you have the box up? I think
I
he
got
was 7 of 17.
7 of 18.
7 of 18.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a strategy you should keep doing. First of all, 18 three-point attempts tells you there's no defense of this.
Yeah, they're letting them open.
They're just there's a one guy in recent playoff history has taken more than that. I think it was Harden. But 18 three-point attempts. I mean, how many possessions do you have? How many shot attempts are there? 100 some? Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
He hit 7 of them. Go to a different strategy. Maybe chase him off the three-point line. He's hitting too many. If he was 2 for 17, let him keep
shooting. Great strategy, yeah.
I don't know, man.
But it's right around a 40% clip, which is what he did on the season. It seemed like
that's very normal.
You mix it up, yeah.
Decent three-point shooter is going to hit 40%. You got to do something else than just allow him to keep standing there shooting three.
To your point, Peyton Pritchard, who's buckets, by the way, but those two guys combine 11 for 24. Now, that doesn't blow your skirt up. That's not like an unbelievable percentage, but
actually, it is.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you would absolutely take that sight unseen if you're Boston. That's the difference in the game right there, is those two role players, guys that are not central parts of what they usually do, performing very well. And that's with Al Horford doing nothing in terms of offensive impact in the game. You know, you're Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, tandem. They're normal, dynamic selves, getting buckets the hard way, a whole bunch, individually creating. But those role players playing well for Boston, that's your 30-point difference.
So I got to shout out my guy Giannis really quickly, though. The most likable superstar in all of sports, in my opinion. I love this dude.
Rightfully so.
Every time he opens his mouth, he says something that endears himself to me more and more. I just really, really like how he lives his life. In fact, I was yelling about Bradley Beal a minute ago. Like, I love Bradley Beal as a dude, too, for the same reasons. I actually think he is, like, he seems like just an awesome dude, a good father, all that stuff. Giannis couples that with being probably the best player in the NBA, you know, or one of them, right? 25 points, 20 rebounds, 9 assists, 43 minutes. I just can't get enough of this guy. His story is incredible. Just what he's overcome out of Greece to get here to do what he does now. And again, his perspective that he constantly provides on his team, on sports, on his life. There's no one else as big a deal in sports as he is that I think is more liked than Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he is the man. I love that guy.
Yep, I'm right in line with you. Part of the fan club. It just, they haven't done, this hasn't existed before. The 7-footer who can do literally everything.
But it's just like his
way.
Personality.
Yeah, but then he's so infectious and he's so likable because he came from a place where he wasn't that good before.
I hate making references that most of our audience it doesn't know because it's an obscure show, but Ted Lasso.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the kid in Ted Lasso that's like the most likable player ever who he asks about, you know, what's the animal with the short memory and is the goldfish who turns down the advertising because of what it's doing to Nigeria?
You talking about Danny Rojas?
No. Definitely not
Danny Rojas. I just want to sing that.
It's not him. Anyways, that character who's just like does the right thing all the time, is the nicest guy ever to the coaches.
Oh, the defender. Yeah, I forget his name.
Anyways, that's Giannis to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just like, if that guy's ever had a bad day, I'd be surprised. I would be willing to bet you go talk to the security guards that work at the arena and like, he's like handing them checks as he walks. Like, here's your bonus for the year in a little envelope. Like, I just love that guy. I love everything about him.
Did you know, since you're a Giannis guy, did you know that there's a Disney movie being made about him and his brothers?
I did not, but I can't wait to watch it.
June 24th. It's called Rise. It'll be on Disney Plus. It should be a good movie.
Steamed up.
That's where you take one popcorn? Dribble from half court and dunk.
I can't wait
that's
to watch
the,
it.
That's the part of the movie.
I'll get the presidents around. We'll watch the little Giannis. I'm going to make my daughter a Giannis fan in no time. G&D with you. Let's push our Jameis Winston conversation, because he said something hilarious over the weekend. We've got audio from everything he's ever said is hilarious. But I actually want to bring up the Commanders next, because they said when the draft ends, we're going to get aggressive in free agency. And I guess they mean well after when the draft ends.
Yeah, whenever that happens.
A guy signed yesterday named Melvin Ingram. You may have heard of him. Just a really good defensive end for $5 million, as if they don't need a defensive end right now. They can help get to the quarterback with Chase Young coming off an ACL and both your ends coming off disappointing years. You got James Bradberry. You love signing Panthers. You love signing guys that used to play for you. Well, I guess if they can still play, then maybe we're not as interested. Anytime now. Let's add another Commander. You have our permission.
Come on.
We won't make fun of you. Sign this man. Grant and Danny on the Fan. So if you remember before the draft, when Washington had been so inactive in free agency, it came up at one of the last public comments, opportunities for Rivera. I think it might have been the owners' meetings or something where he had some kind of a breakfast and talk with the local media. He said, we're going to be more aggressive after the draft, and we're waiting for that tier, that phase. He called it the second phase. I'll call it like the fifth phase of free agency, right? Well, we're there now. And the draft is come and gone. And luckily, Washington looks like they've added some pieces that could play, because they really have done nothing in free agency, almost literally, since the start of the process. They have added two new starting guards, likely, both former Panthers under Rivera, who are going to replace guys who might be better than them that left. Sheriff is unquestionably better than Trey Turner. I didn't want to pay him anyway, so cool there.
Yep.
And Flowers has been better recently than Norwell, who was at one point in time really, really good. And so I'm fine with that, too. No issues at all.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, it's not like you're adding to a weak area or something, or you're upgrading. You've lost two starters, both by choice, and you've replaced them cheaper, and you might get what you pay for a little bit. You might fall off in production. We'll see. But I'm fine. It's guard. I don't care about the position that much, and I think they've done just fine, and they've got two decent enough NFL guards. Otherwise, F.A. Obada, depth defensive end, may or may not make it, may or may not play a lot. We'll see. And a depth wide receiver who's also a former Panther, although unlike the other three former Panthers, he never played for Ron Rivera. But that's what we're looking at. That's the whole offseason at this point. And they said, well, we're going to be active. So I'm just wondering when that's going to be. Does that mean they're going to pounce as guys get cut, a la Charles Leno? Does that mean if someone becomes available they like, they'll go after them? Because I'll be honest with you, Danny, when I heard that James Bradberry was cut, I thought, well, this could work out beautifully for them. They got money they can go spend on James Bradberry now. They seem to have no interest based on what we found out so far.
Yeah, no urgency.
Who's calling? Similarly, Melvin Ingram signed a one-year deal, $5 million, just the other day with the Dolphins. Ingram played this past season with two teams. At times, looked like he can still do it. In 15 games, I know he only had a couple of sacks, but pressured the quarterback early in the season with Pittsburgh. Had a couple huge games for them. I would have spent $5 million to make him my third defensive end, with Chase Young coming off of a torn ACL and Montez Sweat coming off a disappointing season. Three-time Pro Bowler. Again, they weren't in on that. So I'm just wondering, they said the aggressiveness would come after the draft. It hasn't started yet. Like, when are we thinking that's going to come?
Two possibilities that I can see. Possibility one, they just don't have money. They don't have cash. They can't go spend, and cost is a factor.
Well, it's important you clarify, because they have salary cap space
sure.
if they want to use it.
I just mean real dollars, like in a bank account right now that you could pay somebody to sign a contract or something. Again, I'm not reporting that. I have no idea if that's true or not. I have no idea what their cash flow situation is. I'm looking for an explanation as
I've
to why.
I've wondered that out loud.
Yeah.
Ben Standig even asked at one point. I think it was Standig who was joining us at 3 o'clock. We can ask him about this. He asked Rivera about that, if I remember correctly, earlier this offseason. He's like, were you told you're not allowed to spend at any point? And Rivera said, no, that's not the case.
So, yeah, and who knows? I mean, I heard Ron Rivera say that it's not cost-effective to go to Richmond for training camp. It's an NFL organization. What do you mean cost effective?
Did he say that?
Yeah. Like, what are we now? Maybe it's just a figure of speech, but when you add some of these things up, I'm kind of going, wait a minute here. You know, that's possibility number one.
I never heard that.
Possibility number two is we're good. We're just like the Bills. We're a complete roster. We are ready to go. This is as good as we can make it. We don't need anything else. Those are the two possibilities I see. I disagree with both assessments. Where's my urgency? If you've got an opportunity that you think you have with this week's schedule, let's go. This is why you don't overspend in previous years when you're not going to be that good. We're going to go 7-9. This is when you push some chips in here. You got this brand new quarterback you seem to think that nobody has questions about, or at least you don't. Every possible tool, let's go. What about this defense that you let pieces walk away? You're at a net minus in terms of what you've added or lost when it comes to the D. Where's the urgency? I don't get it.
When did he say the cost-effective thing about Richmond?
I heard it with JP and B-Mitch this morning, driving around, that JP mentioned that he had said that.
I've never heard that. I'm going to have to text him and try to find out when he said that. I mean, that would be more evidence to their at least cognizant of what's being spent.
Mm-hmm.
That's somewhat telling, no? In an offseason where you've done almost nothing in free agency, as I connect dots? Ben Standing of The Athletic joins us next. We'll ask him about that. Also, we got that audio of Jameis Winston saying something hilarious over the weekend. I just think he's the funniest guy in sports, inadvertently. So you'll hear that on Grant and Danny next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.